Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, an outbreak of Ebola outside West Africa as the DRC confirms two cases. Getting access could be a problem for medical teams.
It will be difficult to evacuate medicines up to the place of the treatment center. So really, it will require maybe using helicopters.
And as the warring factions in South Sudan sign yet another ceasefire deal, Ethiopian Prime Minister and mediator Hailemariam Desalegn warns the two sides not to break it.
And it behooves us as a region to put our own action where our mouth is, and to show that any party which violates this agreement, that there are consequences to misbehavior.
Two of our stories coming up in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
A Liberian doctor who was receiving the experimental ZMAP treatment for the Ebola virus has died of the disease. Abraham Borbor became infected while treating Ebola patients at the John F. Kennedy Medical Center in Monrovia. The Ebola death toll for the whole of West Africa, as of last Friday, was 1,427, according to the World Health Organization. But not everybody who catches the virus dies. Some recover and are able to return home. Our Liberian correspondent, Julius Kanuba, has met two such survivors.
Hello, Ba. Our more heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have done today.
That is Joseph Taylor, one of the few survivors of the deadly Ebola virus disease in Liberia.
In Jesus' name, amen.
He was infected by his wife, who later died from the virus. His wife too contracted the virus after attending a funeral of a relative in a village in Lofa County, the main epicenter of the Ebola outbreak in Liberia. Still looking emotional and traumatized, Joseph told DW, being diagnosed with the virus and isolated for 24 days, along with his three children, was like a journey to hell.
I suffer a lot, but every day and night I'm with my God. Not even between life and death, but I was already in a grave, but God took me from there. I went through torture. The meaning of Ebola is evil and bad. My brother, the only thing that kept me there was only God alone. Men who he wept passed away.
Sitting at his workplace at Liberia's largest rubber plantation, Joseph expressed happiness for not just resuming normal life, but for his colleagues who worried about him. One of such colleagues is Moses Kawulu.
We were feeling bad about Joseph.
We were all feeling bad about Joseph Taylor's situation. But presently some of us feel relaxed because he's back on duty. So I think Joseph is one of the best witnesses of this sickness.
Joseph is one of the best witnesses of this sickness.
While Joseph is being happily embraced by his friends and community, this is not the case for some other survivors like Hawa. Her relationship was broken off soon after she contracted the virus.
My husband abandoned me. He said he doesn't want me back because of Ebola. The people in the community keep saying I have Ebola.
The case of Hawa highlights that besides escaping death, the Ebola virus brings about psychological trauma and abandonment for survivors of this deadly disease.
Julius Kanuba in Monrovia. While the epidemic rages in West Africa, two apparently unrelated new cases of Ebola have been reported in the Central African region. The Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, confirmed the outbreak in Equateur province and has quarantined the affected area. A treatment centre has been set up, surveillance at ports and airports tightened, and a ban imposed on the hunting of animals. Our correspondent in the DRC, Jack Kahora, says people are scared that the disease could spread. I asked him first how difficult it would be for medical teams to reach the place where the outbreak occurred.
The problem is that the Equatorial Province itself is isolated. There are no infrastructures at all. So there are no roads, there are no vehicles. Really, it's a very difficult place. If you have to see the whole country, it's the place where the accessibility is very, very difficult. And we are afraid that this will be the major issue. Maybe the use of helicopters will be possible, but if we have to use the road, there are no accessibility on the road. And if we have to speak in terms of plans, it's at a given time, it will be difficult to evacuate medicines up to the place of the treatment center. So really, it will require maybe using helicopters to reach the place.
How well prepared are the country's health authorities for this seventh outbreak of the Ebola virus?
This issue is really discussed at the high level of the country. The President of the Republic himself has decided to carry out this crisis, and he will be supported by the minister. It means he will have a look on what is happening day after day and even hour after hour.
The authorities say these cases are unrelated to the epidemic raging in West Africa, but the virus is still just as deadly in the DRC, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, this is regarding what was checked at the laboratory. They said that there's no link between what's happening in the Western countries in Africa and DRC. And this is quite normal. Maybe we can understand because this is not the first time this kind of disease occurs in this region. The other reason is that there is no contact between the Western part of the country and this place. So there is no link in terms of movement of people. That's why it was said that there's no link between what's happening in the western part of the of Africa and Boende.
Jack Kahora in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
South Sudan's warring factions signed a fresh ceasefire deal in Addis Ababa on Monday and were urged by regional mediators to form a government of national unity within 45 days. An earlier 60-day deadline for the two sides to bury their differences expired just over 2 weeks ago. The mediators from East Africa's IGAD have also expressed concern over the worsening humanitarian situation in South Sudan and warned of consequences if this latest ceasefire deal was violated. From Addis Ababa, Coletta Wanjoe reports.
A summit called by the heads of state of IGAD was to help straighten outstanding issues between the warring factions that include the formation of a government of national unity and the cessation of hostilities, among others. The chairperson of the IGAD, also Ethiopia's Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn, warned that both the government and the rebels must remember their moral obligation to the people of South Sudan and ensure that they stop fighting immediately.
If the parties to the conflict are indeed committed to the peaceful resolution of the crisis, everything in their behavior seems to suggest otherwise. Personal and group interests seem to dictate the pace of progress, not the interest of the people, in whose name lofty declarations are made.
Haile Mariam Desalegn also reiterated that the failure of the parties to stick by the provided deadline this time will earn them punitive measures by the East African region.
And it behooves us as a region to put our own action where our mouth is and to show that any party which violates this agreement, that there are consequences to misbehavior.
The European Union, which has been key in funding the peace talks, also warned of tough measures to any side that intends to drag on the conflict. Its ambassador to Ethiopia, Rudolf van Balmos, urged IGAD to help it identify those that need to be punished.
If there is no dramatic improvement, and I'm talking literally every day now counts, we will see about 1.2 million people at risk of famine. 50,000 children, it is estimated, may perish. Most farmers have not been able to plant. this year. Food prices are rising. These are things we all know who live these realities, as you do. Disease is spreading. Displacement has reached at least 1.2 or 3 million within South Sudan, and it's estimated that by the end of the year, it's quite possible that the number will have reached 1 million in the neighbouring countries, especially of Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda.
Thousands have been killed during the conflict and at least 1.5 million displaced. Many are living as refugees in Kenya, Uganda and Sudan.
Coleto Wanjoe reporting. The leader of the Nigerian Islamist sect Boko Haram, Abubakar Shekau, is claiming in a video to have imposed Islamic law in the town of Gouza in Borno State. The claim is being hotly disputed by the Nigerian military, who deny that Boko Haram has taken control of the town. Over the last 5 years, the Boko Haram insurgency has claimed thousands of lives and defied successive attempts by the Nigerian government to quash it. From neighbouring Gombe State, Mohammed Al-Amin reports.
In a statement forwarded to media outlets, defence spokesman Major General Chris Olukolade insisted that the sovereignty of the country remained intact. The statement added that any group of terrorists laying claims to any portion of the country will not be allowed to get away with that expression of delusion and crime. But Dr. Bawa Abdullahi Wasi, a security expert, warned the military not to take the situation for granted.
If small villages like Dambua, like Gouza, it will be dismantled by Boko Haram, then that is to tell you that the security is sleeping. It is even better for the security to come out like the Chief of Army Staff has said and the rest to confess that, yes, they have nothing to defend themselves with and defend the country with. That will be more honorable, and everyone in Nigeria will now know it's not the fault of the military, it's the fault of those things that is supposed to be given to them to do their protective duty as is enshrined in the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
The defense headquarters declared that military operation to secure Gouza town, seized by the insurgents earlier this month, was ongoing, even as Boko Haram leader Abubakar Shekau was defiant, proclaiming Islamic caliphate in the town, which he said was now firmly in the grip of the sect. Human rights activist Abdullahi Inua described the situation as unfortunate.
When these people started coming, many people were calling government to invite them to negotiating table for dialogue. The government insists that it is ready and have a will and capability to fight these people. But on the contrary, what we are seeing is a sweeping victory from the side of Boko Haram, to the extent that now they have even proclaimed part of Nigeria to be a republic.
Also, in a reaction to the reported declaration of Gouza as a territory of an Islamic sect, Governor Kashim Shettima of Borno State said he cannot comment on the authenticity of the video in question, adding that he will leave that to the security experts.
Mohammed Al-Amin in Gombe, northeastern Nigeria. And we will, of course, be following that story as it develops. In about 10 minutes from now, I'll be here with a brief roundup of our main stories. But first, personal hygiene and public health take centre stage as we join the Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of our Learning by Ear series on hygiene and diarrhoea. In the last episode, baby Fatu, who was suffering from diarrhea, was rushed to hospital by Uncle Eddie, the community worker and brother-in-law of Edith, Fatu's mother. Fatu's elder brother, Sam, is still lying in bed, weak with diarrhea. But will baby Fatu survive? Let's join Eddie and the family at the hospital.
I nearly killed my baby. I can't lose another member of my family. First Baba Sam, now my baby. Eddie, what do I do now? What are they doing to my baby?
Edith, please calm down. They are running some tests.
What tests? Why don't they just give her some medicine and let me take her home?
They have to find out which types of parasites or bacteria have infected her. Then they'll be able to prescribe the right medication for her.
You mean Maria's ash bananas are not going to heal her.
Baby Fatu should have been here in hospital within 7 days of suspecting diarrhea. Diarrhea is a serious business. You should not trust home remedies. Those ash bananas might be a good home remedy for other things, but definitely not for this type of diarrhea.
But my friend Maria was so sure and determined. She kept trying one remedy after another. Oh, my child. Jemu, I know your mother's intentions were good.
God help the baby.
The doctors must also check how much damage has been done to her body by the germs.
My poor child. I'm such a bad mother.
Don't say that. You're a good mother. You just didn't know enough about diarrhea to protect your children.
But where did these germs come from? I don't keep any at home.
They're everywhere.
They're on our hands. Our teacher said when you do not wash your hands, you can get diarrhea. Auntie Edith?
Yes?
I told you we should wash our hands and you refused.
Chemo, not now. I think they're ready for us. Let's go and see the doctors. We are lucky my wife is on duty today.
Dr. Sally, please tell me my baby will be okay, please. She'll be okay, won't she?
Baby Fatu is receiving medical attention, but I must say, she does not look good.
Oh, my.
She does not look good at all. Why did you not bring her to hospital earlier?
Auntie Sally, they wouldn't listen to me. I told them that teacher said...
Not now, Chemu. Not now. Let's hear what Dr. Sally has to say.
Well, Baby Fatu is very dehydrated. We have taken her to the intensive care unit.
Oh, good heavens. I want to see her. I want to see her now.
She's over there. The cot in the corner.
Oh, dear Lord. What have they done to her? What have I done? She has tubes in her, like, what are they doing to her?
Shh,
don't
panic. They put her on intravenous drugs and fluids.
Eddie, I want my baby. I want her to get well. I want to hold her. Please. Oh, no. Let's take her home. I promise I'll take good care of her. I promise.
The best place for this child now is right here. Here in hospital.
No. My baby.
So, Edith took her place next to the baby's cot and tried to keep her hopes up. Meanwhile, in the waiting room, Chemu took her chance to ask about what she saw in the pediatrics unit.
Auntie Sally?
Yes?
Have Uncle Eddie and Mama Fatu gone to see baby Fatu?
Yes, they have. But she's very sick. You can see her later, not now.
Auntie Sally?
Yes, Chemu?
I heard them saying she was on a drip. What is a drip?
Chemu, sometimes when you get very sick, like when you get diarrhea, we lose most of the fluid from our bodies. You see, a large part of our body is made up of fluids or water. So, if we lose most of it, our body cannot function properly. It's like a car without petrol or oil. We must help the body replace the lost fluid. So the doctors have put a tube with fluid into the baby.
But why don't you just give her cups of water?
It's not just plain water Baby Fatu is getting from the drip. The fluid has medicines and nourishment. Did you notice that Baby Fatu was not only passing stool a lot, but was also not eating well?
Oh, she just cried, poo-pooed, slept, woke up, cried, and poo-pooed some more.
You see, she needs food as well. She needs strength and nutrients as well as stuff to kill the parasites and bacteria in her body. since the food does not stay long in her body, we have to find a way in which the food can remain long enough for the body to take in the nutrients. She is therefore given these in the tubes, which go directly into the blood.
Auntie Sally, you are so clever. I want to be a doctor like you. I want...
Sally! Sally! Come! Come quickly! My baby is dying! Come!
What is happening?
Sally, honey, this way, quick. It's baby Fatu, it's bad, very bad.
Dr. Sally Mwanka, please report to the pediatrics ward. Dr. Sally Mwanka for the pediatrics ward.
Diarrhea has taken away yet another child of Africa. A sickness, though, that could have been avoided.
Baby Fatu is dead. It can't be.
It's my fault. It's me. I should have acted earlier. I have brought death to my family again.
There. Now, my sister. No. Take heart.
Edith, I wish there is something I could do. We tried our best. It was just too late. I wish I had known about baby Fatu's illness earlier.
It is not fair. Not fair.
I should have visited you more often. Then I would have...
Sally, please don't blame yourself. I'm the one who should have visited them more often. She's my brother's widow. I'm supposed to take care of them. I should have been closer to them.
Oh, no. I'm going to die. Auntie Sally, I'm dying too.
Stop it. Stop. Chem, what?
Chemu, why do you think you're dying?
I touched baby Fatu. I didn't wash my hands. Teacher said
what?
It's in the song. Wash your hands, only washed hands should be used to eat. Careless people don't wash their hands after visiting the toilet. Keep healthy. Wash your hands.
Look here, Chemu. That's a good song. You should teach it to all the children. Now go and use that sink and wash your hands. You're not dying. I'm here. I'm your auntie and doctor, okay?
Okay.
My baby is gone.
Sam.
No, what? What about Sam?
Sam. He's dying. He's going to die. Oh, no, Sam. No, not Sam.
Chemo, what do you mean? What? Where is Sam?
No. Not my Sam as well. No.
Chemo, tell us. What about Sam? Where is he? What's wrong with him?
Sam, dying in bed at home. Dere is killing him too.
Oh, no. Eddie, get the car. Let's go. We must now go and save Sam. Let's go. Let's go, please, Edith. We have to go and get Sam before it's too late.
Poor Edith. Things are very bad for her at the moment, but she now has to worry about the living. They must get Sam to medical help quickly. Tune in to our next episode of our Learning by Ear series about hygiene and learn about what happens to Sam. If you'd like to listen to the previous episodes or any other stories of Learning by Ear, visit our website at www.dwworld.de/LBE. There you can also send us your comments. For now, goodbye.
And in Learning by Ear on Thursday, we'll be paying another visit to the Crossroads generation. Before we go, a reminder of our main stories. The DRC has confirmed 2 cases of Ebola, but officials say there is no link to the epidemic raging in West Africa. The warring factions in South Sudan have signed a fresh ceasefire deal and have received a warning from mediators not to break it. And Boko Haram say they have imposed Islamic law on a town in northeastern Nigeria, but the Nigerian military are disputing the claim. Do tell us what you think of our programme, either in an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a text message to +491 60 957 595 10, or in a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. We're back again at the same time tomorrow. Do join us if you can. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.